thinking about this and the need for the lost to be saved, for the sinner to be saved, for the wounded to be healed. So in Mark chapter 1, this is the story, the history, the account of Jesus cleansing a leper, and it begins in verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him. That's why this morning at the altar I told you to press in. You have to press in because this leper was imploring him, begging him, pleading with him. He says, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, 'I am willing. Be clean.'" Look at your neighbor and say, "He's willing." Jesus is always willing. And look at this. As soon as he had spoken, as soon as he had spoken. How many of you know when Jesus speaks, it's done? It's a done deal. Somebody say, "It's a done deal." As soon as he had spoken, it says immediately the leprosy left him. Now you got to get a picture of that. A leprous man, no longer leprous. Immediately he was healed and the leprosy left him. When Jesus heals you, it's gone. When Jesus delivers you, it's gone. When Jesus saves you, your sins are gone. Because he does a good work, doesn't he? And he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." I like verse 45. However, somebody say, however. However, Jesus gave him specific instructions that he might fulfill the law that was commanded in the Old Testament of the cleansing of a leper, that they had to present themselves to the priest because the priest is the one that pronounced them clean and allowed to come back into society. It was also a testimony to the priest of this man's healing. So Jesus told him, go do the thing you're supposed to do. However, somebody say, however. How many of you know when you get excited, nobody can contain you? When you're excited, nobody can shut you up.
That's right.
Any of you like that?
Yeah.
I mean, just try to tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. However, it says he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Yeah. Father, bless this words to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this morning, like I said, I want to use this separate situation with the leper to talk to us about sin. I just want to get back to a foundational thing this morning and parallel leprosy to sin. And many of you know this already, but I feel like because there's new souls coming in, we have brand new converts in this house right now. Isn't that great? We have people who have just given their hearts to Christ in the house right now. Come on, give God some praise. That's exciting. That's exciting. Hallelujah. We can spend the rest of this service praising God. That just excites me. But because of that, I just want to talk about some of these bottom line issues. And you know, those of you who are taking the soul winning class, our evangelism, and all of you really that are born again, you might want to take some notes on this because we can parallel leprosy to sin. That's what I'm going to do this morning. But you know, how many of you believe touch is an important part of life? Touching others physically, a touch, okay, in purity, a touch in righteousness, a touch in sincerity, it does something to the person being touched, physically touched. There's important things that happen when we have that, you know, a hug, holding hands, a warm embrace, a pat on the back. They do something for the individual receiving that. And God made us as humans with the need for connection. God made us that way, that we're to be connected to other people. He made it so that we could understand the importance of physical touch. There is a hormone that's released called oxytocin. And this hormone They call it a connecting hormone. Because when somebody receives a touch, it releases this hormone that promotes a feel-good sensation. It makes the person receiving the touch feel good, and it gives them a sense of well-being and happiness. If you want to make somebody happy, pat them on the back. Tap them on the back, say, how you doing? You know, there's those little things that just make a difference when somebody receives that tender, compassionate, loving, caring touch. You know, that's one thing I do with my grandkids all the time. I'm always whopping them, and I'm always hitting them on the head, and I'm always, you know, grabbing them and holding them up. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that with my grandkids I don't touch them in some way at least 20, 30 times. I'm always doing that. And I told my wife one day, I said, I want to know, should Jesus tarry not come, and he takes me home, that my grandkids knew they were loved by their Waylo. And how do you do that? You connect. That's why we have all these games that we play. And I ask them, how much do you love me? I taught my grandkids to say, so much. When we just started coming here, it was either the first Sunday or the first Wednesday. You know, our grandkids were just looking all around. They wanted to, you know, investigate everything. So they were up in the cry room. They were up in the cry room, and I was standing, you know, at the back of this aisle talking with somebody. And I just happened to look up, and I saw Nehemiah in the glass. Now, Nehemiah is a character. He's a firecracker. And when I ask him, how much do you love me? He'll go like this. Until I go beat him up some. I love you so much. But he was up in the window looking down at me. And when I look up, he goes like this. I'm looking down. I was like, what are you doing? He goes. But you see, when we make connection with people, they remember. The touch is so important, folks. The effects of touch makes the condition of leprosy in biblical times and even today that much more devastating. We need to understand that the power of the touch is so powerful, it can change people's lives. That's why over and over you read Jesus saying he touched them and they were made well. He touched them and things took place in their life. There was a touch that healed and released into other people's lives. But for a leper, they were devoid in their lives of all sense of touch anymore, in their physical body, but also other people touching them. And it makes leprosy that much more devastating to a leper because they lose the ability to receive a touch and to touch others. That's pretty devastating. So this is where we're going, folks. Leprosy is a condition that is used to illustrate, it's used to demonstrate sin. When you understand leprosy, we understand the depths and the horrific consequences of sin. Leprosy was, and it still is, a horrible condition. And can I tell you this? Sin has always been and always will be a horrible condition. Sin will always be horrible, horrific in its action and in its consequences. Because with sin, there are consequences. And so I want to look at this. You see, leprosy kills the leper. Sin kills the sinner. If leprosy kills the leper, I'll tell you, sin kills the sinner. And we need to come into grips with that because it is so true. It is so true. The soul, the Bible says, that sins will die. The soul that sins will die. Now, the leper needed a healer. And if the leper needed a healer, the sinner needs a Savior. And not just any Savior, he needs the Savior. Because there's only one Savior that can save a soul from hell. There's only one Savior that can forgive sins. There's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if the leper needed a healer, he needed Jesus Christ to be the healer. And so the sinner that repents needs Jesus, the Savior. That's what we need. We need to express that to people. Leprosy kills, and that's what it does. The sinner needs the Savior. So here's some things about, I want to give you the nature of leprosy, and it's grotesque, but you need to understand this so you can understand just how grotesque sin is. You see, a lot of times we sugarcoat sin. We cover it over. We put sugar on top to make it palatable, and we say sin isn't that bad. I want you to know any sin is very bad. Any sin is grotesque in the sight of God. You might call it a white lie. God calls it a sin that'll send you to hell. There is no sin that is not that bad. Every sin is as bad as any other sin. We can't categorize sin into different departments and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. The Bible says we've all sinned. And it doesn't matter what sin we've sinned because it's all bad. Look at somebody and say, it's all bad. So here's the nature of his leprosy. This is the description. First of all, leprosy eventually affects the whole body. Leprosy will attack the entire body. It usually begins with a white spot on the skin, and a lot of times it's accompanied with fatigue, with tiredness, and even sore joints. You begin to feel the effects. The scaly spots begin to develop. And as the disease progressed, the body would be covered with pus-filled nodules. There would be an oozing from the body that would come upon these lepers. The person's face would begin to change. And as the person's face began to change, people began to look at them and say, you have the face of a lion. It was so disfigured, the face would become disfigured to such an extent, it would look like the face of a lion and not the face of a person. These are the effects of leprosy in a person. These nodules would grow on the vocal cords, and eventually the person would either become hoarse or couldn't even talk at all. They would lose their senses and their abilities. The body, folks, listen to this. The body was literally in a state of living decomposition. Leprosy on a leper's body is a literal state of decomposing. That's what they are experiencing in their life. And it creates a stench that the person has to live with for the rest of their lives. Because of the oozing of the nodules, because of the decomposition of the body, because they lose parts of their body because of that, it creates a stench that they had to live with. And everywhere they went, the stench followed them. It's a sad picture of a leper. Leprosy attacks the nervous system, and it deadens the pain sensations that we have. And so what would happen is they would lose their ability to sense pain. And so if they stepped on hot coals, or if they stepped on splinters and thorns, if they reached out to something that was hot, they wouldn't feel these things, and it would create devastating effects on their bodies. Burns without them knowing it because their senses were deadened. That's what sin does. It deadens people to the effects of sin. The leper would become unaware of injuries, and he would eventually lose. A foot could just fall off. As they were struggling with leprosy, their toes and their fingers would wear down. They would begin to decompose and begin to wear down, and they would have stubs on their bodies. It was very physical. It was very easily seen. In fact, it is so horrible that one doctor in the Middle East, I believe it is, he would send, when he would deal with a leper, and there's about 2 to 3 million lepers in the world today that don't have the freedom of health care that we do, and they're living in these conditions. This one doctor would, every time he treated a new patient that had leprosy, he would send a cat home with them. And the reason he would send the cat home with him, it was to prevent the rats and the mice from coming in and eating the dead flesh while the leper was asleep. That's how horrible leprosy is. I'm trying to give you a vivid picture of what leprosy is, because you need to understand the vividness and the horrific results and conditions of a sinner without Christ. It's that bad. Look at your neighbor and say, it's that bad. Here's some things about the leper. He died a horrible death, but there not only are there the physical conditions, there's the social effects of leprosy. First of all, the social effects of leprosy is isolation. Isolation. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his mustache, put something, a cloth above his upper lip that would cover the rest of his mouth. He would cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean!' He shall be unclean. And the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean." But then it says this, "He is unclean and he shall dwell alone." He shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. There was an isolation that the leper had to go with because it was very easily contracted. It could be transferred by the mouth, by the fluids. And so they were forced to go outside the camp and live a life of isolation, a life on their own. And then by Jesus' day, because this law was given way before, but by Jesus' day, the rabbis added to the law. And one of the things they added was if a leper were to stick his head, just his head, into a doorway or in through a window opening to a house, the entire house was considered contaminated. The entire house. Another law that the rabbis inflicted on them was that no one in the community were even allowed to greet a leper anymore. Stay away from them. Leave them alone. Don't talk to them. That was the condition of the leper. That was the social effects. Because isolation, it's a terrible consequence, isn't it? One of the extreme punishments that are given to people in prison is isolation. They put them into solitary confinement. They put them in a little cubicle with very little or no light, and they let them sit there for 30 days or let them sit there for 6 weeks or however long it is, and they go crazy in their own minds because we don't like isolation. We don't like to be alone. We need, even if we're not that social in our lives, we still need to be around people because it gives us a sense of security. But for punishment, they're put in a place of isolation. For the leper, he's put in a place of isolation. And it even gets worse than all this. Because when somebody contracted leprosy, they were forced out of the community, lived outside the camp. Their family members would get food and get clothing and periodically go lay it at a place where the leper could get it, move back so they weren't in his presence and they might converse just for a little bit. But over time, what these family members were allowed to do, they were allowed to have a funeral for the leper who is still alive. They would hold a funeral and consider the leper to be dead to them. They would no longer have to take them food. They would no longer have to take them clothing. They would no longer have to go and let them be the only voice they would hear from outside his camp now, from the community. They would just consider him dead, and no longer would they ever have to deal with him or think about him or care for him again. These were the conditions of a person and the social effects of someone that had leprosy in those days. So a leper, folks, is a living, breathing illustration about the horrific results of sin. When you look at how detestable and the consequences that a leper goes through, you see what sin does to a sinner. The spiritual aspect. And for too long, can I just say this? The church has gotten too comfortable. The church has not looked at the plight of the sinner the way we need to. And we've distanced ourselves from the very ones that need our help. And so we need to be honest about ourselves this morning and look at this because they are a true picture of the consequences of sin. Now, no one here has leprosy in the Gila Valley, and I thank God for that. But can I tell you this? Everyone in the Gila Valley has a problem with sin. We can thank God that there's no physical leprosy going on, but we need to pray because God in his word tells us that we are all sinners. That means everyone who lives in the Gila Valley has a problem with sin, and that sin must be dealt with. So here's some things to consider. Number one, leprosy is considered a surface disease. The condition is considered more superficial. It does go down to a certain depth. It can affect the bones, but really it's considered superficial. Leviticus 13:3 says, "The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore is turned white," all this is superficial, and then it says, "and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body," it's a leprous sore. So leprosy can be seen. Leprosy is visible. It's like an outward manifestation. It's an outward manifestation of what's going on in the body, and it's an illustration of the effects of sin in a person's life. Because leprosy is a surface disease, but sin, folks, is an internal condition. Sin is not on the surface. Sin is internal. And long before someone commits a sin, they have already committed to the sin. Do you understand that? Before anyone ever commits the act of sin, they've already committed in their heart and their mind the commission of that sin. And it's an internal thing that takes place in a person's life. Sin is a condition of man's heart. Jeremiah 17:9, and I changed this on our, I apologize for that, I changed this one. But Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's deceitful, and it says, and is desperately wicked. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know our own hearts, but God does. God does. Matthew 15:18 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, okay, they come from the heart. They come from deep within a person's corrupt nature, and those things defile a man. The words that you speak can defile you because they come from your heart. They come from your heart, and they will defile you. Heart here, let me just give you a quick definition here. Heart here has the figurative meaning of the innermost part, the inside of you. The heart is known to be the seat of mental and spiritual powers and capacities. That's the definition of heart here. And it depends on a person's spiritual condition. But that's what he's talking about, the deep part of you. It's where sin comes from. It's deep within. When someone says, I love you with all my heart, Valentine's Day, handing out Valentine's to the people we love. I love you with all my heart. How many of you love people with all your heart? Nothing wrong with that, right? That's what we're telling people, I love you with all my heart. But that doesn't mean that they're loving that person with the pump that's beating in their chest. They're not saying, I love you with my physical muscle in my chest. I've never seen a Valentine's card say that. I love you with all the pump that's beating in my chest. No, they're talking about something that's deep inside. They're talking about something that you can feel, something that you can understand. It comes from deep within inside of you. Okay? That's what we're talking about. It means love from the deepest part of my being. So we're talking about something that's deep inside of us when we're calling sin out, because sin is deep in a person's life too. Comes from deep within. Now, here's the thing, folks. People aren't sinners because they sin. People sin because they are sinners. We must not get that reversed. People don't say I'm a sinner because I sin. But sinner is the condition of a person that causes them to commit sin. And so it comes from deep within. The Bible says, and I've said it already, all have sinned. All have sinned. There's not one person in this room here this morning that has not sinned. Because the Bible says we've all sinned. Because it begins in the heart. And another thing is, leprosy starts out small and then it spreads. Leprosy will start out a little white spot, a little speckle that maybe grows to maybe a quarter of an inch or so. And you begin looking at it and there's a white spot. Leprosy starts small, but then it spreads, and it can take over the entire body. Leviticus 13:7 says, but if the scab should at all spread over the skin, if it spreads, then you're leprous. If it spreads, then it's activated inside of you. That's what he's talking about in Leviticus 13. You see, one day there's a small spot on the arm, but each day it spreads and grows. The bacteria inside, it multiplies. Let me ask you this question. How many of you know little sins become big sins? Don't ever entertain a little sin, because that little sin will grow into a big sin. And we've already established before that there's no little sin, big sin. There's no easy sin, hard sin. They're all sin. But you can start off something that you consider is just not that bad, and it'll blow your life apart. Because sin, we can say, starts off small, but it grows into huge consequences in our lives. And we have to come to that point where we understand that Okay? We understand what the scripture is saying about this. James 1, 14 and 15 says this, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. There's that little thing that's just come into my mind. There's a little thing that's come into my heart. There's that little thing that I was exposed to. And it sparks a desire within a person. And it says when desire has conceived, when it receives it, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I call this passage digging your own grave. You're literally digging your own grave when you entertain something that grasps your desires and you give in to the desires of the flesh and you give birth to sin and sin breeds death. Here's another thing. The leper defiled everything he touched. When a leper was considered a leper, when it was confirmed that he was leprous, then anything he touched became contaminated. It became undefiled. It became impure. That's why he was kicked out of town. That's why he was living outside the camp, because they didn't want anything within the camp to be contaminated, defiled. They didn't want leprosy to spread to other people. And so we need to understand that it defiles everything it's touched. Can I tell you, sin poisons a person's entire life? Sin will poison a person's entire life. It'll poison you. It'll poison your family. It'll poison your friends. It'll poison your job. It'll poison your community. It poisons the world. Because sin spreads, folks. Sin never stands alone. It always has an effect on others. Some people say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. Somebody says, what I'm doing isn't going to hurt anybody. It's just me. No, there are always consequences upon other people's lives for the sins we commit. And we need to understand that. And the sinner needs to understand that sin spreads. It contaminates. Listen, lust affects other people. Lust affects other people. Drunkenness affects others. You can go down the list, folks. Adultery, lying, stealing, whatever you can name always affects others. Not just the sinner, but it has an impact on other people's lives. I was reading about Larry Flint. How many remember the name Larry Flint? The one who founded Hustler magazine. He started his business with two small bars that he called Hustler something. But he started with just two small bars. That developed into a worldwide, a global sin factory. Because he is now promoting and has been promoting. He's still alive and he's still promoting pornography around the world through his magazines. And I remember back when, I think it was in the 70s, 70s or 80s, he professed Christ as his Savior. But a year later, he confessed atheism. And sin spread. Larry Flint contaminated the world. Can I tell you, sin contaminates the world? Sin's poison is deadly. If you don't believe me, just look at Joshua chapter 6 and 7 and think about Achan. That's a good name, Achan. Achan was Achan. But when God told them to take Jericho, he said, that's all mine. That's all mine. You don't take a thing. This is the first city you're going to take, and it's all mine. But Achan, when he was in there, he saw some silver and he saw some gold, and he found one garment that he really liked. So he stuffed them in his clothing, and he took them back home, and he put them inside his tent. Can I tell you, that one decision to take a little bit of silver, to take a little bit of gold, and to take one garment, that decision cost him his life. It cost his family their lives. It cost all his sheep and cattle and all his livestock their lives, and they burned his house down. That little sin that he thought was just a little sin cost him his life, his family's life, and everything he owned. That's what sin will do to you. You think it won't cost you that much, but it'll cost you dearly. The sinner doesn't think that their sin is very bad, but I want you to know all sin is bad. And it'll tear somebody's life apart. Here's the fourth thing. Leprosy isolates. We've talked about that, but I want to expand on that just a little bit. Leviticus 13:46 says, he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Because sin isolates you. It drives a wedge. How many of you know sin will drive a wedge between you and family members? Sin will drive a wedge between you and friends. It'll drive a wedge between you and neighbors. It'll drive a wedge between you and other people because sin isolates. Isaiah 59:2 says this, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your iniquities, your sins separate you from God. It isolates you from God in his presence. That's where the sinner stands today, separated from God. And it says, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not even hear you. This is the condition of a sinner, lost in his or her sins. The fifth thing is that leprosy destines things for fire and destruction. Leprosy will destine things for fire and destruction. 13:52 in Leviticus says, he shall therefore burn, when he's considered clean, he shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof or wool or in linen or anything of leather, for it is an act of leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. Wherever there's leprosy, whatever is contaminated must be burned in the fire. Everything the leper touched was burned. Sin will burn the sinner. How many of you know sin burns the sinner? Oh, they think everything is fine, but I'll tell you, one day that sin will burn them now and will burn them in eternity. You see, we as the body of Christ need to come back to the understanding of just how devastating sin is. And that'll give us more compassion for the sinner. Instead of judging them, we'll have compassion. Destined things for the fire. Now I'm just going to skip a little bit and go down to number two. Then there's the leper's approach to coming to Jesus. You see, there's the condition, and now there's the coming. Here's the leper in a horrible situation, living outside the camp. He's living within his community of lepers. He's all separated, but somehow he hears about Jesus. Aren't you glad the name of Jesus can get to places where nobody thinks it can? Revivals are going on in prisons right now. I mean, absolute revivals are going on in prisons right now. That's a good place to have a revival. But here is a man, a leper, that's living outside the camp, and somehow he hears about Jesus. Something was going on. How many of you know if you hear some good news, no one can keep you quiet? That was him. He heard some good news, and now Jesus is passing by. He heard about Jesus, but now Jesus is passing by his vicinity. The testimonies of others must have sparked something in him. And there was no amount of money that could keep him from trying to get to Jesus. There was nothing. No doctor could cure him. No amount of money could work out a healing for him. But because he heard about Jesus, there was nothing that was going to stop him from getting to Jesus. That's the way a sinner must come to Christ. A sinner lost in his or her sins, knowing the condition and the consequences of sin, needs to run to Jesus no matter what the price, and nothing needs to get between them and Jesus until their soul is saved. That's the way it is. Jesus is passing by. This guy might have thought, well, if Jesus can do all those things for others, surely he could do something for me. Surely he can heal me. You see, people need to come to Jesus. There is a coming to Jesus. John 6:37 says this, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Jesus saying, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And he says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I want you to know there is no sinner that will ever come to Jesus that he'll say, sorry, and I'm not going to take you. There is no sinner that will come to him in true repentance. Not faking it, not giving half-hearted allegiance to him, but a person who comes to Jesus with full repentance, Jesus says, I will in no wise reject you.
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you glad of that this morning? Aren't you glad that when a sinner comes to Christ, he receives him? That's powerful, folks. You see, it's a choice. And the lost must be presented with that choice, folks. The lost must be presented with that choice. That's called evangelism. That's called the Great Commission. How many of you are into evangelism? How many of you need to be into evangelism? You see, all the hands that didn't go up the first time need to come up the second time. Those two questions should have every hand come up. You either are into evangelism or you need to be an evangelist, because he has given the work of the ministry of evangelism to the church. He has said, church, you are going to be my mouthpiece to the lost of this world. And if you don't speak it, they're not going to hear it. That's evangelism. That's the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Look at your neighbor and say, get going. Turn to somebody else and said, I said, get going. You didn't want to hear it the first time, so you heard it the second. Do we have to have a third? But you see, that's, we have to understand the urgency of the situation. That's why I tried to give you a vivid description of the leper, because we need to have that sincerity. We need to have that sense of urgency that the lost are dying and going to hell. This is the condition of their soul. That God's commissioned it to us. Romans 10, 13 through 15. I love this passage of scripture. It says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I use this scripture so often when I'm talking to somebody and leading them to Christ. And, you know, their hearts are open. And I tell them, man, if you'll just cry out to Jesus, he says, whoever will call, you're a whoever. How many whoevers do we have in the house? Okay. It says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he says this. Listen to this progression or digression. How then can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not even heard about? And how shall they hear unless somebody preaches? Right? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? That's what Paul is saying. As it is written, how beautiful on the feet are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings. If you've been privileged to lead somebody to Christ, look at your foot. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a beautiful foot. That's a beautiful foot. It's a foot that takes the gospel to the world. It's a foot that takes the gospel to the community. It's a foot that takes the gospel to the neighbor, that Jesus himself says, that's a beautiful foot. How beautiful are the feet of those who spread the gospel. So the leper made his way to Jesus. He didn't care about the crowd. You know what? He didn't even care how filthy, how ugly, or how smelly he was. He didn't care. He was going to get to Jesus. In fact, you've got to understand this. It was the very condition that he had that brought him to Jesus. A lot of people say, well, when my life gets better, I'll come to Jesus. Let me give you a revelation. Ain't going to happen. You're already as sinful as you're going to be. One sin makes you completely sinful, so you're as sinful as you're going to be. It doesn't matter how good you try to be. You're not going to be good enough, because there is no one good enough. Jesus is the one who made it for us. And so this leper, he forced his way through. And you know what? He forced his way to Jesus, but as he got closer, don't you know, everybody saw, whoa, there's a leper, and they got away. It was his condition that even opened the way for him to come to Jesus. Folks, that's exciting. You know what's happening? We're all praying. We're all huddled around Jesus. We're all praying at his feet, and we're having conversation with him, and a sinner comes in to give their life to Christ. You know what he says? He says, move aside. Move aside. Make a way. Make a way. There's a sinner coming in. Make a way. He's bringing his sin. Make a way, because his sins are bringing him to me. Make a way. So if Jesus tells you to step aside for a moment, it's probably because somebody needs his attention and salvation. And that's okay, right? Look at your neighbor and say, that's all right by me. The leper tells Jesus, if you will. Think about that. He says, if you will. You know what that statement tells us? It tells us that healing and salvation rests in the will of God. Salvation rests not in my will, but his will. Then he says, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Isn't that good? How many of you are glad that Jesus is a miracle worker? And you hear me say it, and I'll say this over and over, but salvation is the greatest miracle anyone could ever have. You can pray for somebody to be healed, but if they're healed and not saved, they're still healed going to hell. Do you understand that? We can pray for somebody to be delivered, but if they're delivered, but they don't give their life to Christ, now they're delivered, going to hell. There has to be a relationship established. He comes and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I think that's powerful. Thank God that Jesus is a miracle worker. Now I want you to, I'm going to try to close up here. Look at Jesus' compassion. We looked at the condition. We looked at his coming. Now look at his compassion. How many of you know Jesus is filled with compassion? Oh, I'm telling you, he's filled with compassion. Jesus sees the leper. Now you have to understand, when he sees the leper, he sees his condition. He sees the nodules that are oozing. He sees the face that now looks like a lion. He sees the fingers that are worn to a nub. He sees the oozing on his body that's drenching his clothing. He sees the leper just like he is. He sees the leper. And here's the thing about Jesus. You got to get this, folks. He sees all this, but he's not repulsed. Oh, come on. Somebody ought to get praise about that. Jesus is not offended. He's not repulsed. He doesn't say, oh, get away from me. I'll minister to you from a distance. No. He lets the leper come right up to him. He's not repulsed or offended. In fact, the Bible says he's moved with compassion for him. Let me tell you, when you see a sinner that's lost in their sins and you see the effects of sin in their life, don't judge them. Have compassion on them. They're a sinner, and that's what sinners do. Sinners sin. So don't ever be surprised when a sinner acts like a sinner. But here I want you to be surprised about something when a saint acts like a sinner. Don't you call yourself a saint and act like a sinner. Don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. But be shocked and appalled when a saint acts like a sinner. Because Jesus came to save us from our sins, not to make us comfortable in our sins. I just thought about steel toes. Now listen, folks. Compassion will create action, and compassion demands action. If you care about the lost, if you care about the lost, you will do something about their lostness. I know I make up words sometimes, but it helps you understand. If you care about the lost, you will do something about their lostness, their condition. Don't just sit in church and be all hunky and dory in your own salvation. People out there need to be saved too. So Jesus does something that he shouldn't have done in the natural. But again, Jesus wasn't walking in the natural. He was doing something in the supernatural. He put forth his hand, the Bible says. Oh, you got to get this, folks. I hope you get this. He reached out his hand and he touched him. Here is a man that had been separated for years. Here's a man that was kicked out of the camp. Here's a man that could not touch his mother, couldn't touch his father, couldn't touch his wife, couldn't touch his children, couldn't touch the neighbors. Here's a man that was in isolation. Here's a man that had not felt someone's touch in years. Here's someone who's isolated and feels all alone. And yet here is a Savior that reaches out and touches the man. He touches him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for touching us. Thank you, Jesus, for touching our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that when I was lost in my sins, you reached out and touched me. Thank you, when I was detestable in your sight, you reached down and touched me. I'm thankful for what he did in my life. I'm thankful for what he's doing in lives here today. I'm thankful for the young converts, for those who have just given their life to Christ. They're in the house because Jesus touched them. That's what we need to grab hold of, folks. He put his hand out and he touched them. That was a transforming touch. It was the touch that transforms. And how many of you know when Jesus touches you, he transforms you? Are any of you transformed? Okay, that's powerful, folks. Because listen, folks, when Jesus touches a person, he or she will never be the same again. When Jesus touches someone, they'll never be the same. Isn't there a song like that? I'll never be the same again. Oh, no. Somebody say, oh, no. Oh, no. I'll never be the same again. See, that's what's happened. We'll never be the same. Listen, folks, the woman at the well was never the same again after that conversation with Jesus. The demoniac was never the same again when Jesus healed, delivered him. The Bible says he was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. He was never going to be the same again because Jesus touched his life. Blind Bartimaeus would never be blind again because Jesus touched his life. The woman with the issue of blood was never going to have bleeding again because she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. I want you to know anybody that touches Jesus or Jesus touches will never be the same again. If he has touched your life, you will never be the same again. If he touched you, you can say, I'll never be the same again. Oh, no. Since I met the Lord. Has anybody met the Lord this morning? That's what he wants to do with sin. And just like he did with the leprous man, he's saying, I can do that with your sin. I can change your life. How long had it been since this man had ever been touched? And now Jesus is touching him, folks. That touch told this man, and you got to get this, folks. That touch told this man, I love you just like you are, and I'm here to change the way you are. A lot of people want to come to Jesus for the first part. I love you just as you are, and he does. He loves the sinner, hates the sin. You got to understand, folks, there's a paradox here. There's an oxymoron thing here going. Because sinners are destined for hell. Sinners are at enmity with God. Sinners are enemies of God. And yet Jesus loves the sinner because there's still time and there's still hope. And so Jesus loves the sinner when they come to him just as they are. Jesus says, I love you just the way you are now, but once I touch you, you must change the way you are. I'll change the way you are. I'll make you a new creation. I will change your life. There's got to be change, folks. There's got to be change. That's what salvation is all about. Jesus loves the sinner while he's in his current state. The sinner is still under the wrath of God. The sinner is still an enemy of God, loves them. But here's Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates, he shows his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. Before we ever came to him, he said, I'm dying for you. Jesus came to save the sinner, but he also came to change the sinner, to change their life. When Jesus touched the leper could not stay the way he was. Did you hear me? The leper could not stay the way he was. When Jesus touched him, it says immediately his leprosy disappeared. That's what happens to a sinner who comes to Christ with a full heart. Immediately there's change in their life. He couldn't stay the way he was. So when Jesus touches a sinner, listen, the sinner cannot stay the way they are. It was a touch that changed this man's life. It was a touch. Look at your neighbor and say, it was a touch. You see, that's what we're needing. That's what this community is needing. That's what the world needs, is a touch from Jesus. And it was a touch that changed his life. Can I tell you, Jesus is still touching lives today? Can I tell you, he's still touching lives today. He's still touching people like Bartimaeus. He's still touching people like the woman with the issue of blood. He's still touching people that were in adultery, like the woman that was caught in adultery. He's still touching people that are in their lostness so that he can bring salvation to them. He's still touching lives. He is still touching people. I love this, folks. Hallelujah. I'm just going to close there. Folks, we need to grab hold of this. God is doing things. Souls are being saved, brought into the kingdom, but we need a fresh understanding of what God is doing. And the best way it can be described is look at the leper. Look at his condition. Look at his coming. Look at what Jesus did in his life and say, Jesus can do that to a sinner. He already did that to me. And if you're saved, he's done it to you. How many of you are at least a little bit happy that he saved you? I mean, can you at least smile? I can't think about this very much without getting excited, folks. It blows my mind what God has done for us. Blows my mind. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you right now, if you've not come to Jesus, if you've not been born again, if you're not saved, if you've never established a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and asking Christ to come into your life, if you're still that leper in your spiritual condition, Jesus wants to cleanse you like he did the leper. He wants to forgive all your sins. Folks, I'm telling you, this is powerful. If that's you this morning, and you want to come to Jesus so that he can heal you and save you like he did this leper, I want you to come right now. Step out from where you're at right now. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. I want you to come right now to this altar so we can talk with you, so we can pray with you. Is there anyone here this morning that you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior? I want you to know this is so imperative. As horrible as the conditions were to the leper, that's how horrible sin is to your life. It'll destroy you in time, and it'll destroy you in eternity. Is there anyone here that you need to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You need to know that your sins are forgiven. I'm telling you, you need to be like this leper. I'm going to get to Jesus regardless. I'm going to get to Jesus just like I am. You need to be like the woman with the issue of blood. You're going to say, no one's going to stop me from getting to Jesus. Is there anyone, one last time, is there anyone here? If you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come. Please come. We want you to come to know the Jesus that saves. He's all powerful. All powerful. Now I'm going to ask you who are saved. Do you want to be the evangelist that Jesus wants you to be? Do you want to surrender yourself to Jesus? Hallelujah. Would you do that this morning? Would you say, God, I understand again. This is a fresh picture of the condition of the lost, but I want to be your answer on earth. I want to be the Romans 10 person who's the preacher sent so that they could hear, so that they could believe, so that they could be saved. If that's you, you come right now. If you want God to use you to be a soul winner, you want God to use you to be an answer to the condition of sin in this world, to this valley, to the folks, we're seeing almost one person saved a day. Almost one person saved a day. God is doing an incredible thing. Let's bring people to Jesus. Let's bring people to Jesus. Let's make that a priority in our lives. A priority in our lives, because that's the most powerful. Right now, you at the altar, just surrender to him again. We surrendered at the beginning, now surrender to him so that you can accomplish his will on earth. Ask God to help you to win souls. Ask God to make you a mouthpiece of the gospel. Ask God to let you see the lost saved, because there's plenty of lost people to be saved. We need to be who God's called us to be. There are lepers out there, spiritual lepers, that need healing. They need healing. They need deliverance. They need salvation from their sins. There are spiritual lepers all over this valley that are waiting for someone with an answer. The gospel is that answer. You and I have been infected with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now it's time to take that infectious spirit to the people who need Jesus the most. Father, you see us here at this altar. Father, we're here. We surrendered at the beginning of this service, and you were preparing us for this surrender. You were preparing us now, Father, for this surrendering. Father, I thank you for these who are at the altar. And I pray now, God, in Jesus' name, that every one of us at this altar, God, we would receive this. Father, that you would burn this in our hearts and in our minds. That just as deplorable, as horrific as the conditions were for the leper, that's how horrific it is for the sinner. They are lost in their sins and they are headed towards the devil's hell, and they are headed towards an eternity in a lake of fire that burns with brimstone, a fire and an eternity that was designed for the devil and his angels. But Father, there's time for people to be saved. Father, we pray that you will make us the preachers, the ones who herald a message, the ones who cry out in the streets, Jesus saves. The one who cries out in the streets, your sins can be forgiven. Father, we surrender to you right now at this altar. And we say, use us as your vessels, God. Use us as your vessels. Use us. Now, every one of you surrender right now. Say, God, use me. Just say, God, use me as a soul winner. Lead me to the souls. Help me to see them the way you see them. Help me to see them the way you see them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Father, would you seal this up in our hearts this morning? Would you seal this up in our hearts? Help us not to let go of this. And help, Father, this not to let go of us. God, I pray that this fresh understanding, this relook, Father, at leprosy and how it portrays sin in this world, help us not to lose sight of that. And help us to realize that the reason we're here is to increase the kingdom by spreading the gospel. Father, we pray for the lost in this valley. We pray for the lost to be saved. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, that they would be released from the being in captivity with the enemy. We call those souls to be saved. We say, lost, be saved in Jesus' name. We declare salvation over this valley. We declare salvation over Safford and Thatcher and Pima, over Solomon, over Artesia. We declare salvation over this land. And we say the God of our salvation will bring salvation to this land. Revival, awakening, God, in Jesus' name by your Spirit. Father, would you continue to do the work? Would souls continue to be saved? Would people continue to be delivered? We thank you for those who are receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that people receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, God. We pray that your works would be done in this valley. Let your works be done in this valley, God. We'll give you the praise for that. We'll give you the praise. Hallelujah. Give them some praise right now, church. Give them some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, this has been good. We pray that you'll have a great day today. And as you go out, don't forget to tap someone on the shoulder. Touch somebody. And just let them have that feel good. That you love them and you care about them. God bless you. You can be dismissed now. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.